Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, to the Best Ever You Show. And we've got want to just start up by thanking Blog Talk Radio for featuring our show today. We have Carrie Murphy with us, and Carrie is, this show is featured in today's picks on Blog Talk Radio. And that is a very special honor. That Carrie Murphy is as high as it gets on Blog Talk Radio. So I love that. And welcome to the show. How are you today, Carrie?
I am doing great, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for having me. I've been really looking forward to this and excited to be here.
Yeah, and thank you to Pina DeRosa for connecting us. And, you know, we're just going to kind of have a girl chat over the next hour because we kind of do the same, we do a little bit of the same thing. It's kind of cool. I was looking at your website, which to everyone following is inspiredliving.tv or carriemurphy.com, which is K-E-R-I-M-U-R-P-H-Y.com. And Carrie is also just a wonderful, inspiring source for inspired living. And you've got a lot of TV background, though. Yeah, I love that.
I do, yeah. And Elizabeth, I love what you do, too. And it really is about empowering and inspiring people to be the best version of themselves, right? I mean, that's all we got in this life. So we might as well make ourselves the best we can be and get rid of those things that hold us back in our lives. And by doing the things that you do, like this radio show, really hopefully inspire those people to go out there and dream it, live it, and be it, right? So,
woo-hoo. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, and there's room for all of us to be doing what we're doing because, you know, we all touch, you know, so many different lives and different people and so forth. And one thing that I noticed about you is that you realize quickly the importance of great mentors, and you seem to be one of those yourself.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because it actually took me longer than I would have liked. Hindsight is always 20/20, and you know, for me, I went through a really tough time. Like so many of us, we've been affected by the economy in different ways, and I think it's easy for people to use that as a crutch in their life. And so for those of you that are listening who think, oh, I can't be successful because of the economy, it's not true. I've never been more successful as I am today. But in 2008, I had a very different mindset. I wasn't the same woman that I am now. And I had owned a talent agency in Portland for 5 years, and it was a very hard and sad decision to close that business in 2008, the very end of 2008. And it was at that point, well, it was a little bit after that, actually, Elizabeth, that I said, you know what, I need to reach out. You know, there's so many things that I don't know, and maybe this wouldn't have happened if I had reached out sooner. Because, you know, right when you're in your toughest place, you start looking for help. But why not get it before you need it? You know,
yeah.
And that's now what I'm really all about is mentoring and helping people create the lives now, not waiting till a life crisis or something happens where they start reaching out for help.
And isn't it interesting how when you reach out to other people, you're actually also learning from them as well?
Always. I am always learning from the people that I coach or when I go and speak. And that's why I absolutely love what I do, because I'm constantly growing as well. And I expect other people to assume that of me, that if I'm going to go out there and speak and talk about living an inspired life and all of those things, then I'm walking that walk. And I work really hard to be congruent, you know, and authentic with what I talk about.
And you've been an MTV Made coach. We're going to have to explain what that means to our audience here for a little bit. I know what it is, but we're going to explain it. You've coached a Miss America, and it sounds like you're coaching some others who are on their possible way to Miss America or to other local state pageants. And then you really, I've also noticed that you have an extensive on-camera career going, like for, you know, you've been on E! And you've been on the Golf Channel and TV Guide. And so it seems like you are also making your way through things that that you also really just love. It seems like you've honed right in on your passion.
I have. And like I said, that didn't come necessarily as a choice that I thought I was going to have. I mean, I started modeling and acting when I was 11, and I really wanted to be a supermodel. And if anyone has ever seen me, I'm like 5'6", curvy Italian. I'm 5'6", and I'm very curvy. It was funny because I'm watching all these models going, this is not what God has planned for my life. So then I got into acting, and then hosting was just a natural kind of shoot off from that. And I loved it. I'm like, I don't have to. Acting is fun because you get to be someone else. But for me, hosting, just being me on camera, talking to other people, I love it. And so as I ventured off, once I closed my agency, I moved to Los Angeles and got a great agent and started working on the E Network and TV Guide and just was like, you know, I love this. However, I felt like there was more. Like, I wanted the message to be deeper than just going out and interviewing celebrities about what they were wearing or, you know, talking on a green screen. You know, I just wanted to go out and have a bigger impact, and that's where Inspired Living came to be. And now I'm working on shows that have the meaning that I want them to have. So, but yes, I love working on camera.
So you mean it's not profound to ask a celebrity what necklace they're wearing?
No.
So interesting.
No.
I can't tell you how interesting. It just moved me to the TV screen. Woo. So that's really funny. But don't you feel like you can finally also sort of drop the supermodel notion too a little bit with some of the things that you're doing that have sort of replaced that? Because I know I know what you mean, because I had the same thing. You know, I did a ton of acting and modeling as a kid, and I thought, oh, well, you know, naturally I'm going to be a supermodel, of course.
Of course. Why would it be? Especially, say, we probably grew up like in the 80s where the supermodels were everywhere, you know, and it's changed so much now.
Yeah.
And especially after owning a talent agency and looking at the modeling world from a very different perspective. But, you know, don't get me wrong. I still love to get my picture taken. I love to be glamorous. It's just part of who I am, and I don't fight that. And I think that's a big part of people going out there and really being the best ever you is going, you know what, I'm going to be whoever I am. And if that is, you know, being a little glam or not, whatever that is, you know, embrace that and have fun with it. Who cares what everyone else is doing? You do what you do.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I wish there would be a whole march of supermodels at, you know, the height of 5'3 to 5'6 at 120 to 160 pounds. It would probably change the world. But, you know, I hear you with what you're saying as far as some of the things that you've been able to do when you sort of step out of that mindset, the whole, you know, a whole different world opens up to you. And you can just really be yourself and be who you are. You can be, you know, a radio show host. You can be on TV. You can be have a website. You can have a community and, you know, do all the things that you want to do. But let's go to your website for just a minute, because I really love it.
Thank you.
I really love your website. Yeah. I love some of the interviews that you've been doing. Can you do you want to talk about that? Because you're kind of doing the same thing. Well, you've got some TV interviews. Kind of,
yeah, you know, there's so many that we've shot. It is, and I've been really fortunate. And you know what's so funny is that when Kevin Sorbo was my first Inspired Living interview, and I believe that was shot in July of 2009, if I remember right, like right around there. And then it was a whole like probably 6 months till I sat down with someone else. But what I realized was, it's amazing what you can do when you just ask people. I think so many times we give ourselves the answers to questions we haven't ever asked out loud, you know.
Oh,
and
sure.
So when I started reaching out to these athletes, these pro athletes and these actors, and I would ask them, hey, you know, I have Inspired Living and I'm building this program and I'd love to interview you. They were just like, sure. And I was blown away that they said yes. So
me too.
right? It's really incredible. But all you have to do is ask.
Yeah, that's the one thing I've noticed too. You know, I had never in a million years thought I would interview somebody like Ed Asner on my radio show.
Yeah.
And we ended up gabbing for well past an hour. And I've had some of the neatest interviews just by, you know, poking my nose around and just asking. And, you know, I think the other thing that we differ from a lot of people is, you know, we're not there to like pry and get all the dirty dirt.
Right.
You know, we're there. So that presents it in a whole different light when you're interviewing someone and you want nothing but positive out of them. You're not there.
Yeah,
to
they
hear
have
all
to
the,
be on the defense,
the
wondering.
Talk.
Yeah, wondering what is she going to try? What is she going to try to pull?
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of fun for me, and so I go back and forth between Portland and Los Angeles. And I do most of my interviews in Los Angeles because, of course, that's where most of the celebrities are. But on the other hand, not all my interviews have to be celebrities, you know, because it's what I love too is that story of the average person who goes out there and perseveres and overcomes some great odds. And I think that's what people can really relate to. The celebrities are great because of the name recognition. I just sat down with Donald Logue a couple months ago, and that's in edit right now. And Gilles Marini, we're in the process of editing his. And the gentleman who, Quentin, who played Michael Orr in The Blind Side. And, you know, there's so many people out there. I can't wait to get all these interviews out there. Like I said, we have about 10 that we're editing right now. And then I'm also working on a new show that would encompass those interviews as well. So it's a lot of fun. It's so much fun to sit down with people and hear their stories because regardless of what you think, there is no overnight success. It's just, it doesn't happen. And so I love uncovering those not-so-overnight successes.
Oh, yeah. I want to meet overnight successes. Most people, you know, it was funny. I've been looking at Jim Carrey a lot lately through my friend Gary Kobat. And I always thought Jim Carrey was, you know, just overnight success kind of thing. And he's had a decent example of somebody who's had a really, you know, tough go of it. Something
yeah.
that was simple. If you read Jim Carrey's bio, for example, I mean, he really did not have an easy life. A lot of stuff happened to him in the early onset. And when he arrived in Los Angeles, he wrote himself I don't know how many million-dollar check. I want to say $15 million or $10 million check or something like that, and promised himself that one day he'd cash it. And I just, you know, you think of people like that, and you think of these celebrities, and you think they're just so, they've got life so easy, and they don't. But also, I like what you just said, also with just regular people. You know,
yeah.
And the thing of it is though, once you start, you know, talking to celebrities, you realize they're just regular people.
Absolutely. I mean, I have to say, everyone I've sat down with, Donald Logue and Gilles come to mind, but everyone I've sat down with, they are the most kind, down-to-earth, sweet people, you know? And Gilles, he just became a citizen of the United States, so I have to give him a little shout-out just this week. But what I love about his story is that he came here with $400, not speaking a lick of English, and what he said is, you know, people in the United States don't realize what they have. You know, I think sometimes we get so used to listening to other people's stories, but when you're not from here and you look at the opportunity, like Gilles said, I mean, if it's a thought in your head, you can make it happen here, unlike anywhere else in the world. And that is extremely, you know, true. It's very true.
Yeah. What else has happened to you in your life that hasn't been so easy for people who want to get to know you?
Well, when I moved to Los Angeles, I moved 7 times in less than 3 years. And, you know, what you just said, we were talking about the overnight success and how that doesn't happen. And I think that as a society, we look up to the entertainment industry. We look at the celebs as these, you know, unrealistic versions of what we want to be, perhaps. And, you know, living that life and going to auditions, you know, maybe every day or every other day, it's really tough. And you have to have that belief about yourself because talk about rejection. You're constantly getting rejected. And, you know, my mindset, fortunately for me, since I had been doing it for so long and I had closed my agency, I wasn't 18 and, you know, naive to what the industry is like. So I was very prepared. And fortunately, I know myself so well that I know when I have a good day, I know when I don't. When I get, quote, rejected, I don't take it personally because I understand it's a numbers game. I understand all of that. But still, I mean, you have to go out there and really hit the pavement. And with all the interviews I've done, you know, there's always a common theme. And the two things that I always tell people is that it's belief that you can do something. You have to have that unwavering belief in yourself or have support around you. And then the determination. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people go out to pursue something and they have the belief they can do it, but then the determination wears, right? And
sure.
And that's the key, is that you can go out there to continue, like the Jim Carreys or like anyone else that someone may aspire to be like, there is that determination that no matter what. And that for me, knowing that when I moved out to LA, I remember when I got the show on the E Network, and it was a morning show, and I was one of the 5 hosts out of a couple thousand that had auditioned. So I was feeling really good, and I remember running on the beach in Manhattan Beach, and I'm crying because I'm so happy, right? I had lost my home. I started completely over. It was really hard for me to move from Portland. I booked this job on E. I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then 3 months later, the show gets canceled, and I'm crying on the beach for a totally different reason.
Oh, man.
But I still never thought, okay, well, this is it for me. You know, and I remember calling a certain family member, and that family member said, okay, so when are you coming home? Like, you tried it, when are you coming home? And I was just like, well, I'm not. It's not even a possibility for me. So I think for me, it's been a constant reconnect with who I am and that determination, really going, what do you want to do? Because, I mean, like anyone else, you know, there's been a lot of struggles in my life, and yet I've never been happier. And I really come from the mindset of everything happens the way it's supposed to happen, and it's all about your perspective and moving forward and using it to build you up in whatever the next area of your life may be. So,
yeah. If you you said you had been doing this since you were 11 or 10 or whatever it was, is this all that you've ever wanted to do, or have you ever stopped and thought, you know, I really want to be an accountant or
I will say accountancy has never ever crossed my mind. Actually, it's so funny. I was on the way driving to Seaside for the Miss Oregon pageant with my mom, who is like one of my best friends, and she has done hair for the pageant for years, and she owns a salon. And that was one thing, is growing up with a mom who, she didn't always own her own business, but she had a very entrepreneurial way about her, and she always worked for herself. To have that role model was really helpful. So we still do a lot of things together. I had her on my latest show and interviewed her, which was a lot of fun. But we were talking about bookkeeping, and it was actually really funny, Elizabeth, because she's like, Carrie, you are the worst bookkeeper ever. I said, I know, Mom. That's not what I was supposed to do. So it's really funny that you brought up accounting.
That's funny.
It is funny. But, I mean, for me, I started my first business when I was 24. I was working for the talent agency that I actually ended up taking over later in life. But I think for me, Elizabeth, when I was a little girl, it was either Supermodel or Mary Hart. They were really close. And then as I got older, there were all the reasons why I couldn't make that happen. And I got married, I got divorced, took over. So I started my first interior design business, my first business at 24. It was interior design. Did that for 5 years. And then through my mom, actually, found out that the talent agency that I eventually took over was for sale. And so we went in on that together, had that for 5 years. And now I'm speaking and coaching and doing TV. So yes, deep down, I think I always knew that I wanted to be involved in the entertainment industry. I always knew. I didn't always have the guts to pursue it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a lot of guts. It definitely does.
Yeah.
You know, what's the whole MTV thing? That must take a lot of guts.
Oh, it's so fun. Now, unlike most agency owners, I was working as a talent as I was running my company, and I was working for the Golf Channel. Before the Golf Channel, I was the spokesperson for a tee time website for golf tee time. And just in case for any of you out there who aren't golfers who don't know what I'm talking about, it's not like English tee time. So I was a spokesperson for that, and the Golf Channel saw me. They saw my blooper reels. And they called me and said, I know you might think this is a prank call, but we saw you online and we're doing a new show and we want to have you come out. And so, Elizabeth, I had never played golf in my life at that point. And I'm thinking, what are they smoking? They're crazy having me go out there. But I went out there and I got that job. And then as that job is wrapping up, I get a call from the MTV producers, and they knew that I had coached our Miss America, Katie Harmon, and they actually called her mom, because they were going to do a different type of maid in Portland, and they were thinking about maybe using Katie. So Darla said, if you aren't going to use Katie, if you're not going to do this type of show, you've got to use Carrie, which is very sweet. Thank you, Darla. So long story longer, they end up calling me and saying, hey, we're looking for a coach. The premise of the show is geek to chic. I mean, I owned a talent agency. I love making people over, so it was perfect. And so that's what it was. I worked with a high school senior. Her name was Rachel. She was extremely academic. I mean, super smart, going to Pepperdine, had never had a boyfriend, had never gone to prom, had never really taken the time to understand what mascara and lip gloss was. And not that it's always about outward, you know, outward looks, but she wanted that. She wanted to feel better about herself and not be kind of the nerdy girl that everyone thought she was. So we spent 8 weeks together, and we worked on making her feel beautiful from the inside out. And she went to prom, and she looked incredible. It was awesome. It was a really great experience.
Yeah. You know, that's a hard thing to do, is to take a look at somebody else and say, you know what, I know how I could maybe help you be better. And then having them want to be also.
I think that's the catch. I mean, I think because of my background in the entertainment industry, but also with the coaching and the mindset coaching that I do with people, you know, I love helping people transform, to feel incredible about themselves and their lives and what they're capable of. But you nailed it. That's the catch. They have to want that too. You know, and being, I think, a middle child, I got very used to being the one that people would go, Carrie, you go fix it, right?
I'm a middle kid too. I know that.
And so early on in my life, I was kind of that person who wanted to fix people. I remember really early in my life, I would be attracted to guys who had dependency issues, or, you know, who I wanted to fix. And now I'm like, okay, Carrie, and this is what I tell other people, don't fix people who don't want to be fixed. And at the end of the day, no one can be fixed except, you know, the people who want that for their lives. So I'm all about helping. And if anyone wants that help, I'm here for you. But it really has to start with them.
Yeah.
And that's a tough lesson to learn, because so often we just want to help people, especially women. Like, we just want to help everyone. And then we feel defeated when we can't or we don't feel like we have.
Or they don't want your help or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
It's all interesting. Right. Yeah. As ladies, we're all wired differently, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
So how did you get involved with pageants? Because, okay, here, pageants can either be cool or they can be dreadful. They can be wonderful or mean. I mean, there's a whole different range of pageants. And, you know, I've been in pageants. So I have that pageant background, and those can be the nastiest things ever. But, like, I went to one last year, and it was the most wonderful experience I've ever had. I made tons of friends, and it was cool. So
did you compete yourself?
Pageant? What'd you say?
Elizabeth, did you compete yourself?
Yeah, I represented Maine in the Mrs. International pageant.
I have a
huge pageant background, too, but I've done them for different reasons over the years. Like, I was Miss Iowa Teen and things like that, but I did them for terrible. I did them for the college scholarship money.
I don't think that's terrible. I actually think that's a great reason. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's when I kind of got involved too. Again, kind of going back to always wanting to be on TV. I thought, ooh, you know, if I win a pageant, it'll be so much easier for me to, you know, get seen.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it was more for exposure. And then I was involved with the Miss America program, and it was about scholarships. And I love to perform on stage. Okay, I wouldn't pay to go see me perform, but I love performing on stage. So for me, too, it was a chance to push myself to do something that I would never do. And so when I work with girls, I do work with young women who are primarily in the Miss America program, which is a little bit more academic, more scholarship-based than the Miss USA program, that's a little bit more beauty pageant model-based. But regardless, I think it's all about your attitude going into them. And most of the time, my experience in the Miss America program was great. I mean, most of the girls, were incredible and fun, and I still keep in touch with many of them now. And so I think, you know, I totally hear you that some of them can be horrible, but I really never had that experience. I think it depends a lot on the program you're involved with as well.
Yeah, I just had one that was nasty, and that was as an adult. Everything else has been pretty wonderful, and I was hoping you might add a little bit about pageants as far as how they just sort of, I don't know, they just sort of shape you up or something. I don't know what they do, but when you have to be on stage in front of a lot of people, boy, your nails and hair and body and everything, it's just a great way to, like, do a makeover even.
Oh, it's fantastic. And it gives a lot of confidence. And I know that sounds so cliche, and it's really easy for people who maybe have never competed to, you know, point fingers and go, oh, my gosh, that's ridiculous. But when you actually put yourself out there like that, and Elizabeth, you know, and you do the interviews, and you are really, really creating another version of yourself. I mean, you are. You put your best version of yourself out there. A lot of these women are involved in their communities. They're doing incredible philanthropy and giving back. They have platforms that they believe in. Even as the adults, you have to have your body in great shape. So it's really mind, body, it's everything. And then to get up on stage in front of, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 people, that takes a lot of courage. And what I love about either a pageant or anything else, when you push yourself like that, where you go, oh, my gosh, this is super scary and I'm going to do it anyway, then you really are creating and stepping into even a higher version of yourself. And then you go, oh, my gosh, I did that. I can go do something else. And so it's really just, I think, a great stepping stone. And for anyone that has a platform or a cause that they're really passionate about, you know, depending on the program, I think being a title holder can create some leverage for that. So I'm all for
Yeah. The international program and the America program, those are pretty much my two favorites. Because they really help women and young women turn their any kind of pain, basically, into purpose. Mm-hmm. They, you know, it really takes it takes pain and makes an opportunity.
Yeah. The girl that I'm working with right now, her mom was diagnosed with breast cancer twice, and she has been kind of an advocate for breast cancer and cancer. She went to pre-med school, but it was just, it's amazing how she's taken that pain, right? And like you said, and created a purpose around that, and now goes out and helps other young women cope with dealing with something like that. And it really is an incredible platform for people to go out and use their past experiences for something bigger.
Katie Harmon, that's the Miss America that you coached. How cool is that?
It was incredible. Katie, actually, her year, and Katie has such a great story, and when I speak, I use it all the time, because Katie was never a pageant, like she never pursued pageants professionally, and Elizabeth, you know what I'm talking about, like,
girls
who go out for like 20 years to win a title. That was never Katie.
Yeah.
Katie competed once before she won Miss America, and her first year at Miss Oregon, she got first runner-up. And she was trying, I think at that time, Katie was trying really hard to be a version of herself that she thought everyone wanted to see. So she was putting on what they call her pageant Patty face, and she didn't mean to do it. But I think when you don't know a system or you don't know the outcome, sometimes in life we put on faces that we think we want people to, that people want to see or that we think people want to see, instead of being more authentic. And the next year she came back, she said, you know, I'm going to give it one more year. I don't care if I win or I lose, but I just want to dedicate myself to this and see what happens. And Elizabeth, that next year she came back, and she has an incredible opera voice, classical voice, and she won Miss Oregon and then went on to win Miss America. But they almost didn't have Miss America that year because it was 2011. And I remember my mom and I, we were getting ready to fly out to Atlantic City, and, I mean, everything was shut down. And so we have the choice at that time to say, well, are we going to wait and are we going to fly, or are we going to let the situation stop us from going? And we ended up going. It was a couple of days after we had planned, but we ended up going, and then we ended up watching Katie win. And for us, it was like watching my sister win Miss America, and it was really a special time because Katie was just, she was so simple. She wore a black jersey, BCBG gown with her hair in a ponytail, but man, she really embodied what America needed at that time.
Yeah. Do you really believe that there's all these tricks and stunts and, I mean, really, is a hair extension or a chicken cutlet going to get you to Miss America?
No, absolutely not. Nor anywhere. I think, especially right now, you see people like the Kardashians who, you know, and I'm not judging, but man, what it takes to make them look the way that they look. And then people go, well, I don't look like that. I'm like, well, honey, if you want to spend the money on having a full hair and makeup team come in every day, you can look like that too. Like, we all can look that way. But I
personally can hardly blow dry my own hair.
And I do love my clip-in extensions when I'm ready to go on camera. So I'm here saying I love them. I take them in and out. They're great. But I think at the end of the day, people are looking now more than ever for authenticity. for the girl or the woman who is really going out there and being themselves. We can tell a fake. We know, and I've judged plenty, I know when someone's putting on a face. I know when someone started a platform because they want to win a title. I know when they're in it for themselves and when they're in it for the bigger purpose, the bigger vision. And that's so easy to spot. And so beauty, I don't care what industry you're in, it only gets you so far. And then something's got to give.
That's exactly what I was going to chime in and say, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I don't you think that is the total thing? I mean, really, beauty fades, too. I don't know how old you are, but I'm 40. I'm going to be 43. And, you know, there's wrinkle kicking into gear. And,
yeah.
You know, old, you know, it's only going to, and I'm just me, you know, I'm not, but even a supermodel or even a pageant title holder or a TV host or an actress or whatever, at some point, age does happen and so forth, and being a good, kind person and, you know, inspiring other people has got to account for something.
I sure hope so. I mean, I think you nailed it. I mean, we all are going to grow older. We all, you know, I'm definitely looking in the mirror. I'm 37, and I'm going, are those wrinkles around my eyes? But you know what? I think, too, there's something that comes with age that you can't get before you reach that point. And I'm really embracing. I love where I am right now, and I'm sure you can relate to that, too, that as you get older, you have a confidence and a wisdom that you didn't have before. And for me to share that with younger, you know, people and women, I get really excited about. But why not just take the best care of yourself you possibly can? And I'm a big advocate of taking care of yourself, of working out and eating as healthy as you can. I'm not a big fan of diets. I'm not a big fan of cutting your body up or lip injections. But on the other hand, if that is going to make you feel better. But why not just grow old gracefully, taking the best care of yourself that you can? You know, I mean, that's all we have is this life. So why fight it? I mean, fight it a little bit. I'm like, I got my eye cream on. And but
that's the part of, well, you know, we sound like a little bit of walking contradictions, but I get what you're saying. But that to me is part of taking care of myself. I have really intense allergies to things, so I think I will lead a life where I never Botox myself because I'm really afraid that I'd probably die in vain of an allergic reaction to the stuff. But you know, yes, will I put on clinic wrinkle cream? Yeah, I will. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really, you know, in the end, you know, when I'm 80, you know, I'm still going to be 80. I don't know.
Right.
It's going to be delayed a little, but, you know, if I get to be 80, great. I'll have wrinkles, you know. I just am going to be me. But, you know, I think the more we can get that message out to women, I think it seems to me like there's a real shift happening in the universe with women, and you know, we are seeing people without their makeup on. We are seeing people, women reaching out to other women, helping them. We're seeing more and more women in the workforce, college degrees. You know, women are a presence.
Women are on fire. They are on fire.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
and I think I do love that. Like, we're seeing more of the exposed woman. Like, right? There's the natural. Even, you know, in the magazines without the makeup on and things like that. And what I want people to understand, too, is really living in that industry that, like, the lighting, the hair and makeup, we can all look that way should we choose to. But are we all going to connect with that? Is that who we all are? And why try to be something we're not? And so taking good care of yourself and, you know, use the cream. Use whatever it is that's going to make you feel good. But I always say don't compare. Because that's when you get yourself into trouble, is when you're comparing yourself to other women, and we're horrible at doing that.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I love some of these topics of conversation because these aren't things that people readily talk about. they're sort of hidden, you know, they're the hidden things that girls do or women do, but, you know, it's not really sometimes outwardly spoken, but, you know, people do it. And that, you know, you just tapped into a huge one, which is jealousy or comparing and despairing. In other words, if I, you know, I'll give you an example right now. If I pull up Carrie's website right now and I go, oh, well, she's got dark hair. I've got blonde hair. She's 5 years younger. She's 3 inches taller. Boy, she's been on TV and I haven't. I'm crap.
Right.
That's what girls do.
It's horrible what we do. We beat ourselves up, And as I speak to more and more women, I realize, and I just posted on my Facebook the other day, no negative self-talk. Like, we talk down to ourselves so much, and we compare, but then we criticize. And that is that energy that is so toxic, is when you start going, oh, my God, well, you know, you look at someone you might admire, yet you cut them off at the knees. Why not learn from them? Why not go, oh, my gosh, what is she doing? How can I do that, too? Because there is room for all of us.
Yeah, that's,
there really
okay,
is.
So here's how I looked at your website. I intentionally did not go. I really wanted this to be a clean show. You know, you're like, we need questions. You know, between the both of us, we're like, do we need questions for the show? I'm like, no. Let's do it on the fly. We're going to do this show on the fly. I want to have a girl chat with you. And what I did intentionally, just so you know, is I did not look at your website until we went on air. Like,
ooh,
probably 10
like
minutes before we went on air, because I wanted to know who you were and hear your voice and see your face and things like that all at once. And so here's how I looked at your website. I'm like, oh, she's so cute. She has a sparkle in her eye, you know, kind of thing. and then I played one video real fast before we went on air so I could hear your voice and hear what you were saying and so forth. And I'm like, cool, she's doing all the same stuff I am. What can we do together? What can we do to make the world a better place together?
Wow.
Different than,
see,
oh my
yeah.
God.
Instead
and
of going, oh my gosh, she's competition. She's doing what I do. And you know what, Elizabeth, thank you. And I'm all for collaborating. I love what you do. And there is room for all of us. And we all hit a different demographic, a different audience. And when I coach people, most of the people that I work with are people who want to start their own businesses. And I kind of chuckle at that. That's kind of the group that I'm really nurturing at this point. Yet I love it, being an entrepreneur the last 15 years. But I often hear that. Well, what do I have that's any different than someone else? There's so many coaches and speakers. And, man, if I thought that for a minute, I would
never be
where I am today. I'd be done. I would absolutely put a fork in me, roll me over. I'm done.
Totally. And each person I meet, I go, you know, I meet, I listen, and I go, you know, you have a special place in my life. I have a special place in your life, and you have a special place in the world. What are we going to do? Very, very different than... and that's what I mean, that you have to maneuver sometimes through that pageant spot. Sometimes that group does not work for me very well, because I always feel like I'm being chopped off at the knees before anybody ever gets to know. So I'm real careful treading in that spot. Do you find that in the entertainment industry, do you find that you have to be still careful maneuvering through all of that, or is everybody just nice now?
No, I mean, come on. Is everyone nice? I don't know if there was a world where everyone was nice, I would love to be a part of that. And I think that there's always going to be toxic people out there. But what I am more aware of than ever is my reactions and my energy. And I am very keen on when I'm starting to, and I do, I'm not perfect. Like, I'll look at a girl and go, oh, my God, look at her. Like, she's so beautiful, or blah, 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 or look at her body or whatever. You know, I mean, I'm a human, and I'm a woman, so we do that. But I'm very aware of it. I'm aware of my self-talk. I'm constantly trying to make myself a better version. And so I think that's the difference, Elizabeth, is that I don't, if I find myself doing that, I will come out of it right away. And when I do get around those girls that are what I call toxic, I remove myself. And I also don't take things personally. And I think for a lot of people, when someone's mean to them, or someone is, and I have, man, I've dealt with it all. The higher up the ladder you go, the more people, forget the knees, they're trying to cut you off at the neck. You know? And it's really true. And so that was really hard for me, because as a kid, I was that girl who, if you didn't like me, I would go home to my mom and bawl my eyes out. I didn't understand, because I was always trying to be nice, and I just didn't get it. But now, as an adult, I don't care so much if you like me. I want to go out there and be Carrie and do whatever Carrie does and live a great life and give a lot. But at the end of the day, I know that not everyone is going to like me. For some reason, I can't control it. But what I've learned is that it's their stuff. I can't control other people's stuff.
Yeah, that's
why I let it bother us.
Yeah, I was so hoping we'd come to that point. I was trying to lead us to this conversation exactly, because, you know, you go through life and you might enter a situation where you go, oh, everybody's mean, and you step back and you go, you know what? I'm sure everybody's really nice, and whatever's going on in their life is going on in their life. and whatever's going on in mine is going on in mine. And, you know, that's just the journey we're both on. And that's they're going to own their stuff, and I'm going to own mine. And I love what you said, because I don't think the world is filled with, you know, horrible people. I just think
I don't either. I really like to think that it's not that way. But people go through tough times, and how people react to those times is what really, I think, makes the biggest difference. And so when someone is rude to me at a grocery store, or cuts me off in traffic, or like it takes a lot to get me angry, because I realized, you know, that's they're going through stuff, and I'm not going to try to take responsibility for that. And there are times in my life that I go, did I do something? And I definitely check in. But I don't try to take everything personally because of what other people are going through. And
I love that. Yeah,
I think
you have no idea.
If other people could really grasp that and not react so much to what other people do, you know, I mean, that's where the big arguments or fights come out, or the cattiness comes out. Is just
guessing what other people are thinking, or like putting what they're thinking. You know, you trying to guess what they're thinking and just coming to the conclusion, well, that's what they're thinking then, or whatever. But you know, I have an interesting thing. I have a book coming out called Percolate, and in it we kind of write about this topic. And you know, you mentioned cutting you off in traffic, for example. You have no idea if they're cutting you off to get to the hospital because they're, you know, kids in the backseat bleeding. You have really no idea why things happen unless you stop and go, hello, why did you cut me off in traffic just now?
But at the end of the day, who cares? You know, I mean, you're safe, you're fine. I mean, there are so many bigger problems in the world than someone cutting you off in traffic. And for some people, though, that will ruin their whole day, right? They hold on to that anger, and like, just let that go. Life is too short.
Yeah.
Especially living in L.A.
About?
Man, if you're going to get mad about traffic, you're going to be a very bitter person.
That's funny. It depends on where you are, doesn't it?
For sure.
So, one of my friends is Gabe Berman, and he wrote this book called Live Like a Fruit Fly. And, you know, it's, you know, fruit fly's life is very short, and you just kind of said it, too. I'm wondering what you think about, you know, the whole thing about life is short and living your life.
Oh, what do I think about that? Well, I absolutely think it's true. I do think that, you know, we'd never know how long we're going to have in this world. And I get so frustrated, I will say, with listening to people that say, tomorrow, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start taking care of myself tomorrow, or I'll start pursuing my dreams tomorrow. And then tomorrow never comes. And they live this life of mediocrity, and they always feel like something's missing, and they wish they could have done more and been more. And all it takes is just making that decision today and doing one thing to move towards it, you know? And so I do. I'm a big proponent of live life now. Live in the now. Don't wait for money to make you happy. Don't wait for money to go experience things. People use money as a reason as why they don't experience life. But once you start experiencing life and do what you love, the money comes. And I have seen that now more than ever in my life. If I worried about money, I would never make it. If I just go out there and do what I love and do what I do well, then the money comes, because I'm in my money spot. I'm doing what I do well, and I love it. Why would I not create income from that? But switching that mindset from a scarcity mindset to a mindset of abundance and a mindset of now has truly changed my life.
Yeah. How have you done that?
How have I done that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of looking at, I used to, especially when I moved to Los Angeles, there are so many things. Oh, my gosh. I signed a contract when I moved out to L.A. that was for a year that would allow me to live. And then I get out there, and 3 months, the contract, he filed bankruptcy. He's not allowed to pay me anymore. I'm out in L.A. without a job. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, how am I going to eat? How am I going to do this? And then I just started, well, I'm going to teach acting classes, and I'm going to go out and do this. And I don't know how I survived for the amount of time that I did. I mean, yes, family was wonderful, but they weren't there every month. And I had to go out there and just make it happen. But I did what I loved, and all of a sudden, my acting classes grew. And then I decided I wanted to speak, and I started getting speaking engagements. It never was about, how am I going to go out there and make money today? Because so many people said to me, Carrie, go into pharmaceutical sales, do real estate. And
go get a real job, Carrie. Come on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we all hear that. But when you're looking to create income, right, you'll do anything and you'll become unhappy. When you look at, what do I do naturally well, what do I love to do, and what am I good at, then you sparkle, you know, and you do shine, and people are attracted to that. So stop doing things to create income. Start doing things that you love. Get better at those things. And then go out there. And I tell you what, if you're not making money doing that, I would be really surprised.
Yeah. It's passion. You know, there's a whole key element in what you're saying about passion.
Yeah, and I think that word is so overused, yet it is so profound and important. I mean, you keep talking. Everywhere I turn, I feel like I'm hearing, you know, follow your passion, do what you love. But it is
kind of true, though.
It really is true.
I cringed as I said passion.
I know.
Because I know what you mean. It's just like, oh,
yeah.
Passion. You know, but it really is true. You know, I quit a pretty high profile job to, you know, 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago to do this. And I really know that feeling of sitting in that office going, you know, I don't want to sit here and crunch numbers, because I was a number cruncher. And I really want to be on TV and do radio and do, you know, commercials and write books and, you know, I like websites and things like that. And I can remember going, you know, I must be just too creative for this, because my passions are not with numbers.
Mm-hmm. And how much happier are you now?
Oh, my God. I beam every day. I don't even feel like I work. Whereas
See,
before,
I
really could hardly do my hair in the morning. In fact, some days I went out of the house without my hair done, going, I'll do it when I get there.
How could you do that? Oh, my God. I'm just kidding.
But do you know what I mean? You're just like so depressed that you got to go there. It's like, oh, I don't want to be here. And then you don't even feel like doing your hair when you get there, you know. But now, you know, I get up and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do today? Okay, first I've got to exercise. And, and I have four boys. And
wow, well, you are a busy lady.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, what's really fun about it, though, is they're learning, too. It's amazing how kids pick up on happy, not happy talents.
Are you kidding me? They are so susceptible to their environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what an amazing woman you are for them. You know, and I talk a lot about that, too, is, you know, so many times we want our kids to be or act or end up a certain way. And I always go, well, how are you showing up? Because how you show up is how they're most likely going to show up, too. And yet that's the same thing with the circles of our friends. You know, we're the sum total of the five people we hang around the most, and that is true. So if you're not hanging around positive people that uplift you, that empower you, that inspire you, change up that circle. Change it up.
Yeah, no, and I know if you don't want to talk about this, you don't have to, so just, you know, say pass or whatever cool TV word we want to use. There's a button. But you said divorce, and I have a divorce in my background as well, and I wondered, you know, is that sometimes something that people need to do to move on in life and get happy?
You know, I don't know for everyone, but it was for me. He was an incredible man. I knew him since I was 11 years old. He was kind of that guy I wanted to fix. He was really shy and quiet in school, and I know this is going to come as a big surprise, but I was outgoing and an extrovert. And, I know, shock and awe. And I
really
just, I saw this kind of wounded soul, and I wanted to befriend him and fix him. And so it was, you know, I knew him for years, and then I came back from college, and we started dating, and I kind of thought, well, I do love him, and I should get married, right? And I think society starts to dictate in our 20s what we should and should not do, and you know, get a job, go to college, get married, and I will fight that. I'm like, I'm not going to let my kids get married until they're in their 30s. I'm going to lock them up and put them in a closet, because we don't know who we are yet. And I think it's really hard to make a lifelong decision. Now, I know that's my perspective. It's not for everyone. There have been people that have been happily married since they were 12, I'm sure. But for me, it wasn't the right relationship for me. And I grew into a different person. And we just really, seriously, we just grew so apart. And, you know, it was very tough. And he's still someone that I admire and I will love till the end of the days, but not in that partner-husband kind of way. So it was an experience that I had to go through to get where I am.
Yeah.
And
it's,
you know, I'm glad I did it.
It's interesting, too. You can kind of talk intelligently about it, too, and not trash or anything, which is, you know, with my divorce, that was probably the one key thing, because, you know, we share two children, and you can't just go trash talking people when they're fathers and, you know, ex-spouses and whatever. And we have one of those divorces where everybody's pretty good friends.
Yeah, and that's such a blessing. I mean, of course we hear of the opposite, right, where it's the two parents pinning the children against each other, and my heart breaks for that. Because what are you showing them? And you loved each other enough to get married at one point. And this could be a whole different radio show. But
sure.
But you know what? To at least have the respect of you made this decision. You had kids with this person. And unless they've done something to truly physically hurt you or, you know, I'm not going to judge anyone's relationship. It's not my place. But I do think that when you have kids in this world, to at least respect each other. You don't have to like each other or whatever. But not to use the kids as pawns to get what you want.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. We've definitely, it hasn't all been perfect, especially in the beginning, but, you know, we've been divorced for, gosh, you know, I think it's going on 14 years now. And the kids are 17 and 15. And they're really good kids. I mean, they play baseball and they get good grades and things like that. So they haven't been caught in the fray. And I think that's just so, so, so important. And I think that's neat, too, how you just talked about your ex-husband. I call mine this spouse formerly known as Michael.
Okay, that one. I like that. I would have to pick that one.
Because I hate that word ex-husband. You know.
I know.
Yeah, but so he's a spouse formerly known as Michael. And but that is probably, I noticed on your website you've got second chance at love on here and things like that. So I'm wondering if you're kind of going in that direction of coaching people.
Well, funny that you asked that. That show we shot at Sizzle Love, and it's going to come out here very, very soon. But second chances, I was coaching people, and they were so successful in their businesses. And yet when it came to their personal life, they were damaged because of their divorce. And their self-esteem and their self-worth and how they took care of themselves. And I was blown away. Here you are, super successful in business, yet you shut the door and you are, you know, depressed. You don't feel great about yourself. So what I realized is that most of us, we get married 2, 3, 4 times because we never fixed that wounded person, right? We never look at, well, what went wrong in that relationship? How can I show up differently so I attract something differently? Because what we bring into our life is what we attract, and let's start taking responsibility for that. And so,
yeah,
second chances,
what happened to you when you were a kid, or I mean, it can be anything that you carry.
Carry forward.
Especially into that first one, and then it just kind of compounds.
Exactly,
you know,
and then you keep making those same choices.
It might not even be a choice you make that you're even aware of. You know,
absolutely.
It's probably some subconscious stuff going on in there too, but yeah, what a neat show that is. And boy, that must be a bold person to come on TV and show this great business life but a not so great personal life. That's pretty courageous.
That is very courageous, and the people that I've been working with are just that and amazing. And I think when we can say, you know what, it's okay, and you just said something that is so true, that our unconscious really is what predicates 90% of what happens in our life. And so when I work with people, I don't just work with them on the conscious of what they think they know. I really go back and go, okay, how has this affected you, and what is your unconscious doing, and how can we tweak that so you get a different outcome? Because we do have a tendency to be on that same hamster wheel over and over again unless we go back and figure out what is creating the outcomes that we're getting today. So I absolutely love working with these incredible people that are courageous and willing to, you know, show what they're going through, because I think a lot of people are. I think a lot of people have a tendency to get stuck, and we all need help, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, very early on in the show, we talked about mentors, and it wasn't until my 30s that I realized, man, I need mentors. I need coaches. It's okay that I don't know stuff. There's so much that I don't even know that I don't
know. No, it's not, Carrie. You're supposed to know everything.
I know.
You feel that way? Like, if anybody knows that I don't know this, I'm going to be embarrassed. I can't show that I don't know anything, you know? I can't show that I don't know something.
Absolutely. But I love going, you know what, who knows what I don't know, and how can I get them involved with my team, or how can I befriend them, or how can I learn from them? And that's the great thing about, you know, the internet, is that you can learn a ton, and yet I find a lot of people spend so much time learning that they don't go out and start doing. So there's a fine line between that.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because half the time you don't know what you don't know until you go, oh, well, I learned that.
Yeah, until it's too late. And then guess what? You know it.
And you know it. That's funny. So, okay, I just wanted to give you an eye on time. We've got about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to... yeah, it's gone fast, but what a fun guest, and I hope you come back again because it's fun chatting with you. But let's go to the fear word for a little bit and close the show with why we cannot live in fear, because fear is paralyzing.
It is absolutely paralyzing, and the false emotions appearing real, right? False emotions appearing real, and so when you let fear kind of take you over and let it stop you. I find that when I'm really fearful of something, that when I go out and do it, it's the most liberating experience. And it has allowed me to do what I do, you know, getting up on the stage for the first time or doing a pageant or jumping out of a plane or, you know, speaking internationally for me. My first time I was a trainer and I went out and I spoke for the first time and ran a 3-day training. I was so scared and thought, what in the world am I doing? I'm not good enough. And yet once I did that, I was like, what's next? And so I always say step into it, unless it's something that you really feel goes against your values. And it's important to know what those values are for each and every one of us. Don't ever let fear stop you, because I think that we're all born with natural gifts and talents. We are all born with that child inside of us that really wants to go out there and do something and make a difference, or whatever that is for whoever's listening. We all have that. And to not embrace that, to not do that, I think is the biggest disservice to themselves. And I think people really need to face their fears and step into them, because that's what's going to ignite their passion even more. And they'll realize how strong they are in the end. We are stronger than we even know, capable of more than we think.
Oh, yeah, we definitely are. You know, it was interesting. Last night I was at baseball because all my kids play baseball, and it was a line drive down third base, and it was fast. I mean, you get hit by that, you're going to go down and get hurt and probably taken out of the game, and the little guy at third base just stepped out of the way, you know, just, oh, you know, and I said to the lady, boy, most of us would have cringed, you know, kind of thing, and she said, yeah, add 30 or 40 years to him and he'll be ducking out of the way kind of thing. And it made me think, and she goes, they're fearless at this age. And they're like 10, 12 kind of thing. And it just
so
made
true.
Me think of how we pack on fear as we age.
That is so true.
If we're not careful.
I think of that often. And I really quickly, I just want to share that there's a lady that I've been working with who has been, funny that you brought up accountant. She's been an accountant the last 30 years, and she is quitting her job to pursue her speaking and writing full time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what she has done. She's not the same woman that she was. I met her at a platform and presentation skills training, and she got up on stage and she's like, this is what I wanted to do my whole life. It's never too late. It is never too late to face those. And she's like, oh my gosh, I was so scared before. And now she's like, bring it on. She wants to do musical theater, and she wants to write books.
Killing people
and
in her path.
She inspires me so much, because it's really easy to go, well, I can't, right? I've done this my whole life. I can't change now. And that is such baloney. That is such baloney. I want to say something so much stronger than that, but it's live radio. But that is not true. And you at any time can face your fears, let them empower you, and do something different with your life and do something you love. It's never too late.
Cool. We're ending on that because we got to run because we're out of time. And to the caller from the 732 area code, I am so sorry, but I was on a different page and didn't see you. So if you have questions, feel free to email me at elizabeth@besteveryou.com, and I'll make sure Carrie gets them, or just contact Carrie through her website, which is inspiredliving.tv or carriemurphy.com. But I want to thank you for being with us. What a fun, inspirational guest you are. I wish you
thank
the best.
Thank you so
it's
much.
Be fun
thank
to
you, Elizabeth.
Be...
You. And we do need to collaborate here. So.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of stuff we can do. And good luck to your Miss Oregon, or she's
thank
running
you.
Miss Oregon.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes.
Okay, everybody. So take care, and we are going to be back on the air on Tuesday, July 3rd, with Sarah Chena. I think I just destroyed her last name, actually, but, you know, we'll go with it. It's C-H-A-N-A, Sarah. She's going to be with us. And then the following week, we have Chaylin Cates with us. So, all right, take care, everybody, and thank you, Carrie Murphy.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much. And thanks for everyone who listened today.
All right. Take care, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.